Foreclosures keep climbing to record numbers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. We learned this morning neither economic recovery nor mortgage modification programs have stopped the foreclosure wave. The private firm Realty Tracks says the number of U.S. homes taken over by banks last quarter jumped 35% over last year to a new record high. In Northern Europe, hundreds of airline flights have been canceled this morning by a giant cloud of ash after a volcano erupted in Iceland. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is with us live from London. Stephen, what is the latest?
British, Irish, and Scandinavian airspace is now closed. That's no commercial flights in or out of these countries at all until at least 6 p.m. local time tonight. UK airspace is among the busiest in Europe, 6,000 flights a day, including overflights. So this is causing massive disruption.
And Stephen, is it just that this ash makes a visibility problem?
No. In fact, the biggest threat, it says Marcus Pilling of Airline Business Management magazine, is that the ash will clog up a plane's engines.
It is about the danger of the, you know, the substances, the dust particles, anything else that's in the cloud itself being ingested into engines and causing them to fail.
Over the past three decades, around 90 aircraft have been damaged in this way, none with fatal consequences, but the danger is very real.
And Stephen, can you tell how long today we're going to see flights disrupted like this?
Well, it's impossible to say with absolute certainty. Of course, the airspace is expected to be opened again at 6 o'clock. The cloud is expected to pass out of UK airspace early this afternoon. But there is the danger of another cloud coming this way. The volcano in Iceland is still erupting.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting on the cloud. Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Elsewhere, China said today that its gross domestic product grew almost 12% last quarter compared to a year ago. And stocks in Asia rose today. They are flat now in Europe. Wall Street partied yesterday again, with the Dow leaping 103 points to 11,123, the highest finish since the fall of 08. And the good times kept rolling after the bell, with UPS saying first quarter earnings will be much higher than it expected. The last sardine cans to say made in the USA are rolling off the assembly line this week. Reporter Jill Barchet tells us Bumblebee is shutting down America's sole remaining sardine cannery.
Two things helped kill the American sardine industry: canned tuna and overfishing. Tuna fish replaced sardines in the lunch bag, cutting demand at home. Overfishing has led to tighter fishing restrictions. Fishermen can't catch enough in U.S. waters to supply canned sardines on a large enough scale. Ronnie Peabody is the president of the Maine Coast Sardine History Museum. He says Bumblebee's already had to ship in fish from its cannery in Canada.
They can put out as many sardines as Bumblebee needs. They don't need this plant.
Maine claims it was once the sardine capital of the world. The industry employed entire communities along the Maine coast.
It is very sad. To me, very sad, because there'll never be another Maine sardine ever.
128 people are expected to lose their jobs. I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. By LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. And by Citrix, offering GoToMyPC, allowing users to work from anywhere via the web. More at GoToMyPC.com/market.
If an American friend tells you she just got back from touring ruins, you will probably assume she was traveling abroad. But this country has its own kind of wrecks, as American Studies professor Nick Yablon writes about in a new book called Untimely Ruins. Welcome, Nick.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
What are this country's economic ruins?
Well, the ruins we've been hearing of in reports in the newspaper and on TV news are foreclosed homes that have been deteriorating and been vandalized, but also kind of vacant shopping centers and office buildings. But there have also been these kind of unfinished ruins, half-built houses in kind of subdivisions in various parts of the U.S., that have been left to rot in the sun even before they've completed the structure. I call these in my book ruins in reverse, because these ruins don't fall into ruin, but rather kind of rise into ruin.
Will the American ruins of this recession stand, or do you figure we will make it our job to fix them?
Well, that's an interesting question, because, you know, the unfinished ruins of 19th century panics were eventually completed. But with the case of the recent ruins, there is perhaps less optimism that it's perhaps best to kind of demolish some of these homes, some of these shopping centers and office buildings. Perhaps the scale of ruin is too immense to kind of recuperate. So perhaps we'll see more of them demolished than in the past.
Nick, the present is very exciting. Why do you linger so much over ruins?
They reveal certain aspects of American attitudes towards their own cities, towards technology, towards modernity. And they suggest perhaps a more complex kind of attitude than people, historians have suspected. I think people tend to emphasize that Americans are optimistic. They view their country as a land without ruins, that, you know, the best ruins are elsewhere. And that idea certainly goes back to the 19th century, the idea of America as a nation of futurity rather than antiquity. But there is alongside that a kind of lingering desire for ruins of some kind, for some kind of substitute antiquity.
Nick Yablon teaches American Studies at the University of Iowa. He writes about America's relationship to its past in the new book, Untimely Ruins. Nick, thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill.
And finally, speaking of our past, the Library of Congress is archiving the collected works of Twitter, because the library says most of our history has been written by elites, whereas Twitter is real people reporting on real life. For example, I'm on Twitter now. Someone writes, 20 years later, I still wish Tom would catch Jerry already. 4 exclamation marks. So if you ever want to refer to that quote again, you can, because it'll be in the Library of Congress. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.